Good morning, everybody. If you would turn with me to Matthew, chapter 22. Matthew 22, we're just going to read the parable of the marriage feast. So we'll be reading from verse 1 to 14. Okay, Matthew 22. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees and sharing this parable. So you'll notice the tone is different from the parables he shares with his disciples. Okay, verse 1. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for a son. And he sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast, and they were unwilling to come. Again, he sent out other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who had been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fattened livestock are all butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his business, and the rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them. But the king was enraged, and he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found, both evil and good, and the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw a man there who was not dressed in wedding clothes. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes?' And the man was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen.'" Amen. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we're so glad to be able to meet with you this morning. And we just want to settle our hearts this day and put you first and just have your kingdom purposes be what really motivate and drive us this morning and throughout the rest of the day. Lord, would you speak to us? Would you reveal to us the mysteries in this parable, and that they would really resonate with our hearts. We thank you, Lord. And God, would you just use me this morning to speak your truth and communicate it clearly and be able to express as well as your heart. We thank you and just pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So on first reading, the first time I read this, I thought, oh, it's kind of a odd parable, especially towards the end where this wedding guest that the king calls out on. And on first time, you're like, oh, that's kind of weird or kind of superficial, right? Like, why is the king just judging this guest by his outer appearance? It's like, oh, that's kind of, is that what God is about, the outward? And the answer is no, but we'll get to that. So in this parable, it's a parable about the kingdom of heaven, and he uses the context of a wedding feast, and the king is inviting all his guests to the wedding feast of his son. So of course you would think this is probably the biggest event, right? It'd be like, you know, pretty much the best party of the year. So all to say, there's absolutely no reason why you wouldn't go. It doesn't make sense for you to not want to go to this wedding feast. And, you know, the king, obviously, is the father. The son here is Jesus, right? And, obviously, the wedding guests is the people, the first batch who are invited. And so on the first invite, the response was they're just unwilling, right? So it's kind of odd. Why would the king send out a second invite? So the Jewish context generally was you would always do two invites. The first invite is to let you know, oh, on this appointed date, we're gonna have this crazy party, right? It could be a wedding feast, could be another occasion. The reason is I guess now we're much more sophisticated and we can hire people, but back then to throw a huge feast, and I'm sure if you've gone to people who throw dinner parties and they're doing all the cooking, the start time is not usually exactly that start time, because there's just so much to do. So generally, you would get a first invite to know the day, and the second invite is when once everything's ready, then they would send the slaves out and say, okay, everything's ready. So you can see, in the second invite, it's much more specific. It says, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fattened livestock are all butchered, and everything is ready, come. Everything's ready to go. Everything has been set up for you. The table has been laid out. All you need to do is come now. So that's why there were two invites, right? But look at the response. There's a few responses. It says in verse 5, this is the response. But they paid no attention and went their way. So keep in mind, this is kind of a parable about the kingdom. So as many who are invited, this would be kind of their response as well. But they paid no attention and went their way. So they're kind of just indifferent. Indifferent, okay, whatever. Other response. One to his own farm, another to his business. They go back to what they're busy with, their priorities, career, you know, making money, trying to attain more. And another, and the rest seized the slaves and mistreated them and killed them. So that's another response where it's basically full-on persecution. And we already see this happening with, John the Baptist, right? John the Baptist, you could say he was sent out telling everybody, you know, repent, for the kingdom is near. And people said, it's okay. And he was beheaded, right? And of course, the disciples as well later. And the response by the king was he was enraged, especially regards to the last response. And he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. So it seems like there is, I guess you could say there is some justice done, right? I don't know what that actually looks like, but I guess, you know, we just leave that to God. But I would say, I just think of especially nations that have really rejected the gospel. To all to say they've, you know, been offered it, you know, it's there. And they've rejected it and maybe even responded with persecution. It seems like it really would enrage God, right? And there is a response. But of course, there's also grace that God extends as well. So then he said to the slaves, basically, because there's these people who we've invited and they are unworthy, let us just go out and go to the highway where it's very busy, you know, intersection where all the traffic is, and invite, it says, all those who were invited were both good and bad. Good and bad. And this is, you see, grace at work, right? People who are, or we're all undeserving, but whether you're good or bad, you're invited. And then these people came. They came to the wedding. And this is where, on first hand, I was a little taken aback, right? Which is the king. He says, friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes? So as I read this, I imagine the father saying this to us as well, right? He's saying, Matt. He's just here, and he looks like he enjoys it. Matt, what is that what you're wearing? Right? But the key here is, you notice the man's response. He was speechless. Because the way I think of it is, oh, if say, you know, he's inviting people just off the streets, good and bad, just anyone to come, and it's someone, you know, maybe they don't have the means, right? And then so if the king said to him, friend, how did you come here without wedding clothes? I would think the person who didn't have the means would say, oh, actually, this is the best clothes I have on me, right? The person would have a response, but this person had no response. He was speechless. So kind of to say, he had no excuse. He could have worn something appropriate, but he had no excuse. And as a result, you can see the king was very upset. He said, bind him hand and foot. Throw him into the outer darkness in that place. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So on first hand, if you look at the person, the guest who wasn't wearing appropriate wedding clothes, you're like, oh, is it just studying the outer? No, but the outer does reflect what's going on the inside, right? So I think the king, even though he's addressing, hey, what is it you're wearing? It's addressing the inside as well. And and I feel like even as it talk about this outward, maybe it could also mean the fruit that we bear in our life, right? And I think, oh, you know, when it comes to the king approaches us, and rather than saying clothes, he says, Matt, what is the fruit? Where's the fruit that you bear in your life? And then speechless. But of course, Matt will not be speechless. And the best way I can think of it is if we paralleled it to a different situation. Say Janella, she says, I have such a heart for the poor. I just, my heart breaks for the poor. I love the poor. I'm so moved by the poor. And then 5 years later, I say, oh, hey, I remember you were sharing you have a real heart for the poor. What have you been doing? And she said, oh, I haven't done anything yet, but I have a real heart for the poor. At which point, I think most of us would say, I don't really think you have a heart for the poor, right? And it goes back to say, the fruit that we bear in our life, in itself is just works, right? But it is an evidence of what's going on in our heart. So there should be something, right? In itself, that's not what we strive for. But if you're truly somebody who has come to the wedding feast, and I think, what was the point of the wedding feast? The point of the wedding feast is to honor the son, right? It's about the son. But some people, they just come to the wedding feast and they just want the food. They want to eat. They want to fit in. They just want to experience this grand occasion. But really, what is it about? It's about the son. And the father, or in this case, the king, is addressing that with this guest and say, it's basically him just showing up with whatever, not dressed the part, shows that he doesn't respect or honor what's really happening, which is honoring the son. And then the parable finishes with saying, for many are called, but few are chosen. But for many are called, but few are chosen. And he's talking to the Pharisees. And we see this. Many are called. We are all called. And from this parable, the different responses are, one, you're just indifferent to the call, the invitation. You reject it. You might even persecute the person who is inviting you. Two is like this friend, right? Which is to say, even though he's received this invitation and accepted it verbally and maybe even stepped out, but there's no change, right? So you could say for us, and especially coming from baptism, people are declaring, and Xiaoming kind of shared too, right? She was struggling with the, is he really my Lord? Because if he's not Lord of all, he is not Lord at all. And some people, they might declare, you're my Lord, but there's no change, right? Nothing changed inside. And then there's those who are, of course, accepted the invitation, and yet there's change. And those are the ones, but few are chosen. So I'd like to invite Janella up. And just let the Holy Spirit speak to you. I mean, of course, everyone here, the fact that you're at early morning prayer, you've been invited to the wedding, and you've accepted. And I believe we've all also been changed and transformed, that you would give up your mornings to seek his face. But of course, for us, as we've learned, it's continual. It's not a one-time thing where we just honor the Son and give our life and declare his Lord once. It's continuous. So let's just take a moment to assess in our lives, what are we making it about? Just as this guest who came didn't really care about the Son who was being honored, just cared about the food, just cared about the perks of what he can get. What is our focus? Is our focus on Jesus, the sacrifice, honoring the sacrifice that he made for us? And also we can just look at the fruit in our lives. Are we bearing fruit? Are we bearing fruit? What is the evidence of that fruit? And if you're feeling convicted that perhaps the fruit is not so apparent, the outward is not necessarily honoring and respecting the King, then I encourage you not to feel this pressure to strive and do more, but really just get your heart right with God right now. And as you do that, quite naturally, the fruit will be reflected.
Offering all So I wait for you. So I wait for you. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, you're all this heart is living for. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus,
just take some more time to pray as Janelle continues to sing this song over us. But the invitation that Jesus gave us, just as he gave his disciples, just as he gave to Zacchaeus or the rich young ruler, was simply, follow me, follow me. That is his invitation to us. And as we do, and I take this time between you and God, just I guess rededicate yourself to that invitation of following him. So simple, just follow me. And let's just anything in our lives that we know of that we need to lay down, just offer that up to God as well. We could turn to the screens and let's cover our community. Let's cover those who are loved ones who are going through cancer, as well as those going through chemo and radiation therapy. Let's pray for those loved ones who are sick but also are in need of salvation. Pray for their hearts and for situations and circumstances to allow people to speak into their lives. Mm-hmm.
Let's cover those who are sick and suffering from infirmities. And if you can't see the screen, just whoever you can think of. Cover those looking for jobs. Let's pray that in this season, as they are have more free time, perhaps that they would take this time to even follow God, follow Jesus even more so, and to be guided to the correct job in the correct timing as well. Let's go to our Thursday prayers. Let's first start with our mission focus. Let's cover Singapore as well as SPSG. Pastor Sam Kim and Annie. Let's pray for Indonesia. Let's pray for the country, especially with so much strife and persecution happening between Muslims, Christians. Let's also cover SPIN, RSP Indonesian Ministry, with Pastor Salamat as well as Mimi. Let's pray for guidance and God's abundance in their ministry. Let's also cover SP Seoul, our church plant, with Unsung and Janice. Cover our prayer and healing ministries. Let's cover IP, our intercessory prayer, the well, our physical healing, and Cascade, our inner healing. Let's pray for God's anointing and that God would speak, especially to those in charge, the leaders, to give them a vision of what's guiding them and propelling them forward in their ministries, and for God to really touch as well the ministers as well. Let's cover our education ministries, Noah's Ark with P. Mary and Yi Ling. You can pray also for this Sunday. They have an appreciation dinner. Let's pray that there'll be so much joy, and that the people who serve would feel so loved and ministered to, as well as just over the logistics. We pray for SP Youth, Pastor Nate, SPU, P. Ricky, and P. Andrew. We pray for anointing over the leaders, as well as the young people, where they can experience God. Cover our Thursday outreaches, SP Lights and Homie Outreach. Let's pray for God's favor upon them as they go out and share the gospel and bring this invitation to people into God's kingdom. Let's pray for that God would speak to those who are serving, speak to the leaders, and just be guided and have discernment and wisdom as they go about. Pray for the house churches today, Elements House Church and Olympic. That would be a time coming from our baptism service where people would just remember God's goodness and faithfulness in their lives and be such a time of fruitfulness and reflection. Father, Lord, we just declare to you, as you have given us that invitation where you say to us, follow me, and we want to respond to you and say, yes, we will follow you. We will have you as the one who would guide us, lead us, teach us, Lord, teach us. So Holy Spirit, within us, would you do that for us today. Continue to do this. Help us to hear. Help us to see. Help us to sense how you want us to move, how you want us to respond. Give us your heart. Let your heart just overflow in us. Even right now, just affirm how much you love us and let that love for us just overflow as we become your hands and feet to the world, as we tend to your sheep, your flock, Lord. We thank you. So Lord, would you just bless our spirit this day to connect to the Holy Spirit and just to lead us in every way, our body and our soul. We thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please continue to spend time with God and have a great day.